Praise God. Well, good evening to everyone, and we thank the Lord for allowing us to come together one more time. One more time. All right. And this is part three of our series, Spiritual Freedom. Okay, part three. So in John, the 8th chapter, verses 31 and 32, right, we find Jesus talking to a group of Jews who are new believers. And Jesus tells them, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in verse 36, the word says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free. Free indeed. All right. Now, as I noted in last week's lesson, Jesus was offering these new believers something that they didn't even know that they needed. Right? He was offering them spiritual freedom. Okay. Now, tonight, before I go into the second method of knowing if an evil spirit is present in our lives, you know, I said I would go there this week. But before I go there, okay, I want to briefly share what spiritual freedom is. Okay, I want to talk about what spiritual freedom is. Now, this is my definition of spiritual freedom, all right? So you can take this to the bank. No, you better not do that. All right, my definition of spiritual freedom is being delivered from the torment of demonic oppression and the service of sin. All right, I'm going to say that again, right, for the one of you that's taking notes. Spiritual freedom is being delivered from the torment of demonic oppression and the service of sin. Now, some of us have been connected to one church or another for the majority of our lives, right? But we had never been taught that church membership and ministry service doesn't automatically bring deliverance from being tormented by demonic oppression or from the service of sin. Right? I'm one of those. Now, as the Jews learned in John 8, believing on Jesus Christ and receiving salvation, hear me, believing on Jesus Christ and receiving salvation doesn't automatically deliver us from being tormented by demonic oppression or service to sin. Oh, if only it did, right? Now, oppression is defined as prolonged cruel or unjust treatment or control. Right? Oppression is defined as prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment or control. So when we talk about demonic oppression, right, then demonic oppression is an ongoing, cruel, or unjust treatment or control by an evil spirit or a demon. Let me say that again. Demonic oppression is an ongoing, cruel, or unjust treatment or control by an evil spirit or demon. Now, we may not want to admit it, but even as saved, faithful church members and church workers, right, we have been still the servants of sin. In John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." All right? And I don't think there's any of us who would say that we have not committed any sin. So we all are saved, sanctified, and some of us are filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? But because of sin, we are still have been, and unfortunately, can say that we are the servants of sin. So the spiritual freedom that Jesus offers sets us free from being servants of sin. Right? The spiritual freedom that Jesus offers us, right, with the freedom that he gives, sin will not be in control of our lives anymore. Oh, my goodness. Right? Sin will not be in control of us. Now, I'm not saying that we won't sin, but we will not be controlled by sin. So, let's look at how can we detect. Now, this is the second method of how to detect the presence, to know the presence and the nature of evil spirits. Right? In answering the question, do I need deliverance? Okay. The Frank and Ida Mae Hammond, right? The Hammonds gives us these two methods for knowing whether or not an evil spirit, a demonic spirit, is present and what its nature is. Now, the first one we talked about last week was, right, discernment, spiritual discernment. Okay? By the power of the Holy Spirit, right? As we discovered in 1 Corinthians, right, the 12th chapter, right, God gives the gift of discernment, discerning of spirits. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to discern, we're able to know and to recognize whether or not what type of spirit is involved, is active, and the nature of it. But the second method is by detection. Okay? Detection. Now, we still need the Holy Spirit, right? But by detection, we can know. There's seven things that we can look at to know whether or not an evil spirit or a demon is present and what the nature of it is. Now, even as I say that, I know that's difficult for some of us church folk to even think that it's possible that we could have an evil spirit occupying some area of our life, that there could be a demon in control of our lives. But as uncomfortable as it may be, right, the Word of God is true. And this is why Jesus gave us power to cast out demons. All right? So, what are these seven things? The first one is emotional problems. Okay? And so we can ask ourselves, are there any persistent or recurring emotional disturbances? All right. Do we have any persistent or recurring emotional disturbances? Right? Now, it could manifest as uncontrollable feelings of resentment toward a person or a group of people. All right? Resentment. It could manifest as hatred, anger, fear, any type of fear, fear of, right? Fear of heights, right? Fear of failure, right? Any kind of fear, any phobia, right? Why? Because we know that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so, if there is fear and uncontrollable, right, feelings of fear, chances are we're dealing with a demonic spirit. It could manifest as rejection, feeling rejected, feeling unwanted and unloved. That's what rejection the feelings of rejection is. Right? It could manifest as self-pity, the feeling of self-pity, right? An uncontrollable feeling of self-pity, or an uncontrollable feeling of jealousy, or depression, or worry, inferiority, or insecurity, right? So if there is an uncontrollable feeling of any of these or any emotional disturbance, okay, chances are you could be dealing with a demon, all right? Now, most often, the nature of the spirit is also the name of the spirit, okay? Right? So we say, if there's the feeling of resentment, chances are we're dealing with the spirit of resentment. If there's the feeling of hatred, then it's likely that we're dealing, the spirit of hatred needs to be cast out. Okay? So, if manifestations of uncontrollable feelings of hatred or anger or fear or rejection, right, then the demonic spirit usually identifies itself as that. Now think about this, right? In Mark, the 5th chapter in the 9th verse, right? Jesus is in Gadara, and he meets up with a Gadarene, a man who is possessed by demons. And Jesus asks the unclean spirit, "What is your name?" Right? And the spirit said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Okay. Yeah. The nature of the spirit is oftentimes the name of the spirit. Okay. The second thing to look for, right? So first, we're looking for emotional problems. The second thing we look for, can look for, are mental problems. Are there uncontrollable thoughts that cause mental torment, that cause procrastination, indecision, that causes us to compromise? We're always compromising. That causes mental confusion, or doubt, or we're always rationalizing, or memory loss. Any of those, right, and uncontrollable thoughts, right, that cause that you are tormented, right, by these things, you could be dealing with a demon. Number three, the third thing, speech problems. All right? Okay? Are there uncontrollable outbursts of words? Are there uncontrollable outbursts or uses of the tongue? Such as lying, right? Can't control it. I mean, just little things, right? Were you home? No, that's a lie. Were you on the phone? No, that's a lie. Right. Cursing, right? Profanity, cursing. Blasphemy, which is, right, speaking ill of God. Criticism. Just can't control yourself, always criticizing anything and everything. Mockery, mocking people. Can't control it. Railing on people. Yes, talking against them. Or gossip, can't help it. Got to talk about other people's business. All right? Any of those, right, regarding speech, could be dealing with a demon. Number four, sex problem. Okay. Are there recurring, unclean sexual thoughts and actions, such as fantasy sex, masturbation, lust, perversions, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, incest, pornography, provocativeness or lewdness. So if there's this uncontrollable, right, thoughts and actions in these regards, then chances are there's a demon. All right. Number five, addictions. Are there any uncontrollable and excessive indulgences of nicotine, of alcohol, of drugs, of medications, of caffeine or even food. If there's an uncontrollable and excessive indulgence in any of those, you could be dealing with a demon. The sixth thing is physical infirmities, right? Many diseases and physical afflictions are due. I'm not saying all, but many diseases and physical afflictions are due to the spirit of infirmity. All right? Look at Luke, the 13th chapter, the 11th and the 12th verse. Luke 13, 11 and 12. The word says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity." I mean, the word of God just tells us exactly what it was, what kind of spirit it was. It was a spirit of infirmity. She had it 18 years and was bowed together or bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Right? Amen. She had a spirit of infirmity that made her sick. Okay? So, right? Generally, usually, we look for a spirit of infirmity when the doctors can't figure out what the problem is. Yeah. Good chance there that we're dealing with a spirit of infirmity. The last thing, number seven, religious error. All right? Now, any level of involvement in religious error can open the door for demons. Okay? Dabbling in any, right, of these erroneous religious beliefs and religious practices, okay, can open the door to demons of false religion, demons of Christian cults, the occult and witchcraft, and false doctrines. Right? I mean, dibbling and dabbling in, right, horoscopes and seances, hypnosis, right? Right? Yeah, playing Ouija boards and with Ouija boards and stuff like that, right? All of that kind of stuff can all of that kind of stuff can open the door to a demon of false religion. All right. Now, again, Paul says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And the reason for going into all of this is so that we will not be ignorant of the devil's devices. When we are ignorant, when we don't know, right, then we give Satan, right, we give Satan the opportunity to have his way with us. Okay. Now, as we learned from Luke, the 11th chapter and the 27th verse, right? Whenever a door is open for one spirit to enter, that spirit will act as a gatekeeper and hold the door open to invite other demons to come in. Because demons, they don't operate alone. All right? They work better in groups. The spirit of anger works well with the spirit of hatred, rage, resentment, indignation, the spirit of wrath, violence, murder, cruelty, bitterness, unforgiveness, retaliation, spite, revenge, outrage, hostility, and foolishness, just to name a few. Right? And so remember, in Luke 11:27, the word says that if that spirit that was cast out of a man, if he comes back and finds the house swept and garnished, he'll leave and bring seven demons worse than himself. He becomes the gatekeeper. And so opening the door to anyone, any spirit, right? Let's say any of those that I just named that could come in with anger. If we open the door to unforgiveness, then unforgiveness, the spirit of unforgiveness, could invite any of those other demons to come in, right? So that's why many believers are saved but miserable, right? But Jesus has offered us spiritual freedom. Amen? All right.